Thank you very much, and please be seated. It's a very beautiful day outside, and God has given us another opportunity to gather here this morning in His wonderful and precious name to honor and glorify Him. And we, along with others who have already expressed appreciation for your presence, would again want you to know how glad that we are that you've come. And it is a great day when God's people can gather. I can only imagine what it'll really be like, David, someday to be able to stand up in the presence of God and hear our name called from heaven's roll and to hear Jesus say, "Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord," and what a joy it will be. How many of you have ever heard the word placebo? Anybody? Any of you know what a placebo is? Several years ago, I had gone to Dallas, Texas, after having encountered a heart attack and the implantation of a stent in one of my arteries. And I was doing a study through Southwestern Medical Center on the drug Lipitor. Many of you probably take that. I still take that every day and have for over 10 years. But I did a study at Southwestern on Lipitor. It had already been an approved drug, and they were just trying to track it to actually determine the effectiveness of Lipitor in reducing cholesterol. And so I went on that study, and I was on that study for about 5 years, and they informed me that at some point I might be taking a placebo and not the real thing. And for some period of time, that was true. I didn't really understand what a placebo really was. I had always heard about it. But a placebo, according to Webster, is a preparation with no therapeutic value. Years ago, when medicine was in its primitive state and doctors not really knowing exactly how to treat or perhaps prescribe the proper medication, gave people what they call sugar pills. And you've heard of those, I know. And, you know, you go to the doctor and he just gives you something to kind of psych you out in your mind to make you feel like you were being treated properly and in hopes that it would do some good. Well, these water pills or even medicine was just simply bottles of colored water. And they contain no medicinal value, but doctors would assure their patients that if they were to take that prescribed thing, that they would experience healing or that they would feel much better. Now, that treatment is called the placebo effect. And it is also noted that between 30 and 60% of those who actually took placebos or that concoction showed signs of improvement. And what the doctors were saying, that it was mind over matter, that you could believe yourself into a better way of feeling, or, you know, the mind could release these little endorphins that would make their way through your bloodstream and add to the healing of your body. Now, King Solomon said a long time ago that a merry heart doeth good like medicine. Well, I didn't get you here this morning to just simply talk about Lipitor and to talk about studies on various medication. But what I do want to share with you this morning and really make some kind of analogy to what we call the placebo effect in medicine, we often have a placebo effect in religion. We have a placebo effect in areas of spirituality. And I believe that that placebo effect is causing many people to drift away from God or to believe that something is going on that really is not going on at all. How many times have you heard people say, "Well, I feel right with God"? They think in their mind that they're doing the right thing and they feel right about what they're doing, when in actuality it may not be right with God. God has a will. God has a prescription for you and for me. And by the way, did you know that Jesus is referred to as the great physician? And God always used, by the way, medicine along, that is, the science and technology. Luke was a physician, by the way, a doctor. And Jesus is called the great physician. But God always used medicine and he used spirituality to bring about the healing in an individual's life. Well, sadly though, there are many people in today's world, spiritually speaking, who are only taking placebos, spiritually speaking. Let me share with you this morning what I really believe is happening in the religious world. And you know, sometimes if you just looked and you exercised a little common sense in your life, you would be able to know the difference. You know, common sense has gotten to where it's not so common. Did you know that? It really is. Matter of fact, I read something the other day. It's called The Obituary of Common Sense. Let me share it with you this morning in the beginning. Today we mourn the passing of a beloved old friend by the name of Common Sense, who has been with us for many years. No one knows for sure how old he was, since his birth records were long ago lost in bureaucratic red tape. He will be remembered as having cultivated such valued lessons as knowing when to come in out of the rain, or why the early bird gets the worm, or why life isn't always fair. Common Sense lived by simple, sound financial policies. Don't spend more than you earn. And reliable parenting strategies. His health began to rapidly deteriorate when well-intentioned but overbearing regulations were set in place. Reports of a 6-year-old boy charged with sexual harassment for kissing a classmate. Teens suspended from high school for using mouthwash after lunch. And a teacher fired for reprimanding an unruly student only worsened his condition. It declined even further when schools were required to get parental consent to administer aspirin to a student, but could not inform the parent when a student became pregnant and wanted to have an abortion. Finally, common sense lost the will to live as the Ten Commandments became contraband and churches became businesses and criminals received better treatment than their victims. Common sense finally gave up the ghost after a woman failed to realize that a steaming cup of coffee was hot, spilled it in her lap, and was awarded a huge settlement. Common sense was preceded in death by his parents, truth and trust, his wife, discretion, his daughter, responsibility, and his son, reason. He is survived by two stepbrothers, my rights, and why I am a whiner. You know what, if you just exercised a little common sense, you would realize that there are certain things that are wrong and certain things that are right. You would know that there is something that is called truth and there is something that is called the placebo effect, spiritually speaking. Now let me leave with you this morning here what I really believe is the placebo effect. Number one, there are sermons without meat. You know, there are a lot of people that go to church just to feel good. They want to walk out of the building feeling like everything is all right with them. Don't ever preach on sin. Don't ever tell me that I'm a sinner. Don't ever tell anyone that they're lost. Don't ever tell anyone that there are some people who may go to hell when that roll is called up yonder. And when we stand before the great judgment bar of God, there are some who would like to believe that everybody who ever lived in this life is going to heaven, but such is not the case. But there are a lot of placebo sermons being preached from a lot of the pulpits of the Lord's church even today. They are sermons like this. I want you to feel good and I want to feel good and let's just feel good together. Let's just make sure that we don't condemn anything or anybody. Let's make sure that we don't step on anybody's toes. Let's make sure that we just keep everybody happy. Folks, that is the placebo effect. Christians need to recognize that they stand in need of additional truths. Sometimes people are discontent to hear first principles over and over and over again, that a person has to believe in Christ, confess Jesus, and be baptized, and don't preach to me, but just preach to everybody else out there. I'm not saying that those are not lessons that are efficacious and that there are lessons that are needed. But you know where we need a lot of lessons today is on the Lord's church and what we ought to be doing as the kingdom of God. I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. One of the great texts of the Bible begins in verse 12, where the writer says, "For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of strength have exercised their senses to discern between good and evil." You see that? Between the placebo effect and between that which is right or true. And there is a difference. And there are a lot of people that are teaching error today that are not really teaching the Word of God. And they're making people feel good. There are a lot of the televangelists that get on television and you know, they're talking about how great things that God is doing through them and all the wonderful things that God is going to do through that particular individual. And it's kind of a make you feel good and all those kinds of things. Folks, I've learned in life that the thing that really causes us to change is not someone telling us that we're doing all that we ought to do, but when the Word of God convicts us when we are not doing what we ought to do. Notice what he says. "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection." And the word perfection there is the word maturity. He said that there are some Christians that are still in the playpen. There are some who named the name of Jesus many years ago who are still lying in that bassinet. And they have never grown. They have never matured. They have never developed. They know no more about the Bible today than they knew when they obeyed the gospel. The placebo effect. The writer says, "Leaving the first principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, or the doctrine of baptism and the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead, and," he says, "of eternal judgment, and this will we do if God permit." He said it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again into repentance, seeing that they crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. I can't think of anything more tragic than for a person to know the will of God, become a Christian, and then drift away from God. We're drifting as a nation. We are. And that's a great tragedy. And the reason that's happening is because many have experienced the placebo effect. The church is drifting in many, many places because we've experienced a placebo effect. Individual Christians are drifting in their lives. The things that they know God teaches, they don't practice. And many of the things that God teaches against, they engage in. Because they have created a placebo effect in their life that says, "Hey, it makes me feel all right." How many times have you ever heard people say, "Well, I know that's what the Bible says, but it doesn't bother my conscience." You ever heard people say that? "Doesn't bother my conscience." Well, if your conscience is not based upon the Word of God, it won't bother your conscience. It doesn't bother the conscience of a lot of people to pick up a gun and shoot you and blow your brains out. It didn't bother the man down at Fort Hood the other day who walked in and killed about 11 or 12 or 13 of his comrades. Didn't bother him. Didn't affect his conscience at all. We got a lot of folks in the church. Doesn't bother their conscience. And seemingly, a lot of people have the mistaken idea that if it doesn't bother your conscience, then it's all right. And a lot of preachers that don't teach the truth, folks. The placebo effect. The book of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, the Bible says that we're to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Jesus taught in Matthew 4, verse 1 through 11, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I want you to notice what he said. He didn't say some of the words. Notice what he said. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word, not just a few. Oh, there are brethren that say, oh, don't preach to me about that. Don't preach to me about this. Every word, he says, that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And then it was Jesus who taught in Matthew 5 and verse 6, that blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Not that we denounce preaching first principles. We ought to do it, folks. But we cannot grow and we cannot develop when we just sit and talk about how a person becomes Christian all the time. We have to talk about what it means to really be a Christian. We have to talk about what it means to live the life of a child of God. But then there's another area of the placebo effect. And that is the doctrine of denominationalism. Do you know the reason that the placebo effect of denominational doctrine satisfies the longing of the heart spiritually? Is because many do not know the difference between truth and error. Let me tell you something about that Lipitor, by the way, up in Dallas when I was taking those pills and doing that study. How they actually did this, and I didn't know exactly how they did it. They said, well, what we're going to do, and they even advanced that, and they said, we're going to put you on a 20-milligram pill, and some will be placed on an 80-milligram pill. And they said, you don't know which one you're going to be on. And you could be on the placebo effect. We're going to give you three pills. You don't know whether there are three placebos, whether there's a 120, whether there's an 80, or whether there's one placebo, or whether you're getting two 40s and a placebo. I didn't know it. Like some dummy, it took it. I later found out after the study was over. But I knew that when I went to the doctor and they drew my blood that I wasn't on placebos because my cholesterol had been reduced and I was still eating Bluebell. I knew something was working, folks. Now, if my cholesterol had gone up, I would have known that I was on the placebo. But there are a lot of folks who believe certain things, and those things satisfy them all right, spiritually speaking, but they're only doctrines that are not right with God. They didn't emanate from God. Many in the world today are satisfied with erroneous doctrines. Let me give you an example of how that happens sometimes. People come to church, or they go to a house of worship, and they sit and listen to the preacher, and they go through the motions and the ritualism of all of it, and they walk out feeling good. And as long as they feel good, they feel, well, I've satisfied my relationship with God today. And sometimes people are real regular. Some people do that on Christmas and on Easter. And, a lot of people like that. Sometimes people never come to worship, and it doesn't bother them, doesn't bother their conscience. Not at all, because they experience the placebo effect that says, hey, it's okay. You know, I appreciate people that are faithful to God, and I appreciate people that are faithful to whatever they are. Appreciate people that are faithful to their mate. I appreciate parents that are faithful to their children. I appreciate people that are faithful to their job. I appreciate people who are faithful patriots in this country who will stand for what is right and uphold that which is right. But I have a lot of contempt for people that are unfaithful, who play the part. On September the 7th, 1995, Cal Ripken, many of you remember him, was a shortstop for the Baltimore Orioles. became the first man in history to play in, listen to this, 2,131 consecutive games. And when asked why he was always there and that he never ever missed a game, he said it was because he wanted to be there. It wasn't that he never ever got mad at the coach or the umpire or the fans or the other players. It wasn't because the weather was always conditional. It wasn't because it never got too hot or it never got too cold or never got too windy or never got too rainy, but he was always there. He said because he wanted to be there. You know what, folks? In the Lord's church, you got to develop the want to. The want to. Why is it some people are faithful and some are not? The want to. People make all kinds of excuses, but I'm going to tell you something. It boils down to the want to. There was a lady from Augusta, Georgia, who had not missed a Bible class service. Listen to this one. Who had not missed a Bible class service in 44 years. You know how many Sundays that is? You have any idea? 2,288 Sundays. Never missed a worship service or a Bible class in 44 years. Why do you think she was always there? Do you think she ever had company that came in at the last minute? Think she ever got tired? Think she ever had a headache or cold? Or indigestion? You think she ever wanted to sleep late on Sunday morning because it was her only day off? Or even had her feelings hurt by the preacher or the elders or some other member? Of course she did. We all do. But she didn't believe it was reason enough for her to forsake the assembling with the saints of God. There are denominational doctrines that are placebos. Let me give you a few. One of them is this concept that says once you're saved, you're always saved. Placebo effect makes you feel good. But does God say that? No. He says, matter of fact, go back to that verse I read a moment ago. It is impossible for those who have tasted of the good word of God, should they depart from the word of God to renew them unto repentance, seeing that they crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. Does that sound like people can fall to you? It does to me for some reason or another. And when I read the book of 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, and the word says, it is better for a man to have never known the way of righteousness than to know it and then depart from it. Does that sound like a guy could leave it? Does to me. I think that's what the word depart means. I think. But it's a denominational doctrine that presents a placebo effect for a lot of people. And people swallow it. And they take it. And suddenly they are among the 30 to 60% that feel better, whether it's doing anything or not, or whether it's true or not. It happens a lot. I've heard people say, well, you know, God loves us so much, he's not going to send anybody to hell. You ever heard that one? Placebo effect, folks. Jesus said something in Matthew 25 about certain people who were going to go into everlasting punishment. And to outer darkness, where there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, if you think that's heaven, folks, you better go back and read the Bible again. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I know what the Bible teaches about baptism, all right. But I've heard other preachers say you don't have to be baptized. It's not really necessary. placebo effect. Jesus said, and after all, he's the one we want to listen to, isn't it? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. World says don't have to do it. Jesus says you do. Who are you going to listen to? You can swallow whichever pill you want to. It's your choice. It's mine. In the book of Acts chapter 19, we read of those who were baptized under John's baptism. They were satisfied. They were satisfied until they heard the truth, and then they were properly baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible says that when Paul went through that upper coast of Ephesus and he found certain disciples there, he asked them, he said, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you were baptized?" They said, "We've not even heard of the Holy Spirit. What are you talking about?" The Bible says he talked to them about Jesus. And they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus again. They were baptized properly. Many people have been nourished on placebos and not on truth. The Bible in the book of 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12, Paul says that there were some who believed error. They believed error because they didn't have a love for truth. Jesus said, "However, seek and you shall find. Knock and shall be opened unto you. Given it should be given unto you." Listen to 1 John 4 verse 1. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are God, for many false prophets are gone out into the world." Placebo. One last one, folks. A placebo effect is that human rationale for the justification of one sin. Human deduction is one of the most widely accepted placebos. Let me tell you what I mean by that. It's like, I think this, or I feel this. And a lot of people say, "Well, just because I think it or I feel it, it must be right. If it feels good, do it." You've seen that on the back of automobiles, haven't you? "If it feels good, do it." And that philosophy has sent a lot of folks to hell. Solomon said, "There's a way that appeareth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death." Proverbs 14, 12. You know what he said? Did he really mean that? Sure he meant it. What might appear to be innocent could be wrong. There is no justification for sinful living. None. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6 and verse 23. Many are deceiving themselves. The Bible in the book of Galatians 6 verse 7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." And we will reap what we sow. You swallow the placebo. Doesn't make a difference how you feel or what it does for you. You will reap the effects of the placebo. And I remind you that a placebo is a preparation that has no therapeutic value. And in spiritual matters, folks, it has no spiritual value. People are often deceived into thinking a lot of things. Little sin's not going to hurt anybody. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 18, "Let no man deceive himself." Some people try to justify themselves with lengthy excuses. John obviously had caught that particular thought in 1 John chapter 1 verse 8. When he says, "When we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves." There are a lot of people back during the days of John who were saying, "Well, we didn't sin. We felt it was all right. What's wrong with it? I think it's okay." John says, when we do that, he says, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts chapter 5 lied unto the Holy Spirit about a contribution that they'd made to the Lord's church. They had swallowed a big placebo. When man spends a little time with God, little time, and I'm talking about little time, folks, People don't read the Bible like they ought to. People don't pray like they ought to. People don't attend worship like they ought to. And when you spend a little time with God, you won't grow spiritually. You will begin to deteriorate, and the placebo will have no spiritual value in your life. None. The placebo of self-justification may make you feel better, but doesn't do anything for you spiritually. You know what's so amazing to me is that even young children can get a handle on what I'm talking about here today. They understand it. They do. I've had kids come up to me and say some of the most brilliant things spiritually. Many, many times much more spiritual and enlightening than adults who have been members of the church for a long, long time. Jessica Mullen wrote about her brother. And maybe what she wrote about her brother was based upon something Jesus said in Matthew 19:14, when he said, "Let the little children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." She said, "My brother was born 6 years ago when I was 7 years old. And although I didn't know at the time, I eventually found out that he had Down syndrome. I didn't want to believe it at first. Yet over the years, William has become one of the family's greatest blessings. Having the ability to see through my brother's eyes is one of my family's most treasured possessions. Having a sibling with special needs can really bring out the best in you, and William brings out the best in everyone with whom he comes in contact. Those who have met William have changed their perspective on people with disabilities. He is so loving and so kind. He has taught my family so much. And when looking at others the way my brother does, we can really start to love and appreciate those around us. William doesn't judge people by their appearance or by their circumstance. He's as quick to hug a homeless man in the park as he is to hug our preacher down at the church house. Everyone is special and has value in William's eyes. My brother has strongly impacted my family's attitude and outlook on life. We have become such much more patient people, accepting those who are less fortunate or different than we are. And he has really brought my family closer together. Because William learns and develops much slower than other children, our family has learned to work as a team to encourage him to be the best that he can be. We are stronger and we are a closer family because of William. You see, William has brought us closer to our God. As I watch William sing in church and glorify the God that we've all come to honor, I wonder if he sees angels. I know he has a one-way ticket to heaven. William has touched so many lives and continues to spread his joy. A hug from William will brighten anyone's day. I am so thankful that my family can catch a glimpse of the world through my brother's eyes. And I would hate to know what it would be to be without him. I love my brother's eyes. So full of life, shining with love for everyone. And if everyone could see through my brother's eyes, why, the world would be a much better place. Even physically and mentally challenged children have a greater insight sometimes and a greater depth of understanding about the God who's with us in this building this morning. God wants us to be spiritual. But God wants us to accept His word. Not a placebo. I committed myself a long time ago to just teaching His word. Not the doctrines of men. Never preach to tickle the ears of people to make them feel better. But the truth. Because I know someday I'm going to be held accountable, not to you in that hour of judgment, but I'll be held accountable to the one who created me and to the one who someday will bring me into His presence and who will have me to give an account for my own stewardship. I pray that mine will be acceptable to Him, and I pray that yours will also. This morning, if you're not a child of God, you're experiencing a placebo effect, because maybe some of you in this audience have maybe deluded yourself into believing you're okay and God's not going to send anybody to hell and everybody's okay, you're okay. It's not what God's word says. It teaches that we all sin and that we all err, and because of our departure from God, at the age where we're able to discern between good and evil, God says to come to me. And He's still pleading today for us to come to Him out of a believing and a faithful heart, with a mouth that confesses, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and with a desire to be baptized for the remission of our sins. And even though the world believes it's unessential, and even though the world has swallowed the pill of the placebo that says, hey, it doesn't make any difference, God's word says different. But it does teach that when we do that, that God forgives our sin. And He resurrects us to a new life, and we have the hope of someday going to heaven. And I hope that's your hope this morning, while we stand and while we sing.
Just as